In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. С праздником. It basically means greetings on the feast. And it is such a beautiful feast. It is the Pascha in the summertime. It's one of my favorite feasts because it's our future. Now in this world, there's a lot of light, but there's a lot of darkness. Much darkness. We are always surrounded by darkness. Even in our church right now, in the daylight, there was light and yet there was shadow all over the room because we're surrounded by darkness in this world. But in the next world, there will be no darkness. There will only be light. This feast is a feast of light where God showed He is light. He showed His light to His apostles, three of them, to strengthen them before the ordeal that they would go through in only 40 more days, exactly 40 days. Where the Lord would be crucified. And they would have much darkness during that time, much confusion, much fear. But they would remember the light. And at the end of his days, Peter remembered that light. Now, when he experienced it that first time, he was overwhelmed by it, confused by it, frightened by it. The icon shows them falling down the mountain, sort of falling away from the light. And Peter was saying, just nonsense. Let's build tabernacles. Let's stay up here forever. Because he was so confused by this light. But that's because he wasn't ready for it yet. And we're not ready for it either. That's why we don't see it right now. The divine light is present right now. It's blindingly bright, but we don't see it. The Lord guards us from it because we don't have the capacity to see it yet. But I would like to give you, I guess, one rule of life. This is the way I've lived my life. I haven't always lived it well because I'm a sinner. But there's been this thread throughout it. And you can really take many passages of Scripture that contain this thread. But particularly, the Transfiguration is very indicative of this thread. This world, it's going away. What we are right now is not what we will be. All the darkness in this world, all the sadness in this world, all the sin in this world will be gone. There won't be confusion. There won't be pain. There will only be life everlasting in the light, where God illuminates us with His light, and the light will no longer confuse us or make us ashamed. We will be in the light in eternity. And God will be showing us ever more of Himself eternally. This is something worth living for. In the midst of the darkest times that you have in your life, this is something worth living for. And I would submit to you that if you are a Christian, you feel the darkness every day and you rail against it and you pray against it. That's really what prayer of the heart is, at least a component of it. There must be sadness in your life in order for there to be gladness. There must be a recognition that this world is not as it should be. Neither are you as you should be, nor your loved ones, nor anyone you meet. None of us are as we should be, as we were born to be. Because we were born to be creatures completely of the light, with no darkness and no shadow. And there was no darkness and no shadow on Mount Tabor. And that is our future. And as I said before, it is worth living for this. If you are a Christian, this will energize you. Peter speaks about it. He's at the end of his life. He knows that he's going to be killed soon, probably in a very painful way. Turns out that he was crucified. And as he knew that he was going to put up off his tabernacle, he was concerned for those who were still going to be in the partial light and the partial darkness. He was going to where there was only light. But they, the ones he loved, were still in darkness, partial darkness at least. And so he was telling them how much he cared for them, how much he even would, after his decease, care for them. If you read carefully what he says, and if you read it with eyes that are opened and understand what happened on Mount Tabor, then it's very clear that Peter is saying that even after his death, He will take care of them. But he says these words that when I hear them, I just wonder what his state of mind is. It's something that I can't really comprehend. I can kind of understand it in a way, but this is a man who saw Jesus Christ showing him who he was. And it stuck with him for the rest of his life and was the power behind everything he did. So he said this. He said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from that excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and we were with him in the holy mount." Then he goes on to apply this. This is why he lives. This is what he cares about. This is all that matters to him. Nothing else. All he cares about is this. He's dedicated his entire life since knowing Jesus Christ, and especially since knowing him on the mountain, even though there were some big mistakes before the resurrection. He's dedicated his entire life to this. So should we. This is all we should care about. He says, because he saw Jesus in light, because he saw what his future would be, what the future of his loved ones would be, that there would no longer be darkness, no longer be sadness, no longer be confusion or sin or passion, but only light illuminating him from within. He saw this and believed it. And so as he reminisces to his flock, he tells them, "We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star will arise in your hearts." This is what transfiguration is. Our future. We should live for our future now. God bless you.